This Wednesday night, the next two Wednesdays, I will actually be here these next two Wednesdays. But, you know, Rooted in my mind was always built. The reason why we did Rooted was that it was always built to feed you the Word of God, not just from me in particular, but from all of the gifts that are in the body. And this is where we have to mature as a group. Come on, somebody. That God, that whoever the vessel is, the Word is the Word. Come on. And you got to learn how to receive the Word of God, not the vessel, but the Word of the Lord, regardless of, listen, if God can make a donkey talk, if that donkey is talking right, I'm going to say amen to the donkey. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm going to say hallelujah. So it doesn't matter who's here. I want to take you to the Word of the Lord. And I if you give me a moment, just a few moments, I don't need a lot of time, but I do need a moment to sit on this Word and to walk this text a little bit to get you to where God wants you to go. The Bible says in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, I want to drill down here. There's so much in this story, but I want to drill down here and go all the way down. I believe I want to pick this up at somewhere around, verse 41. This is the great challenge that the prophet Elijah gives to Ahab, who is the king of northern Israel. Jezebel is his wife. They have 450 prophets in the northern kingdom of Israel who worship Baal. Baal is a Canaanite god who was known as the god of thunder, the god of thunder. In other words, they will worship Baal because they were agrarian people, meaning that their whole economy was built on agriculture. And so the reason that they will worship Baal is because they would pray to Baal for rain. So Baal was the god of the skies, of the heavens, the god of thunder, and they would pray to Baal for rain. There were also over 400 prophets that worshiped another god. They all assembled together on this mountain called Mount Carmel, where Elijah gives a great challenge, basically, to Israel. And he says, whoever can get God to bring down fire from heaven, that should be God. Now think about the challenge, because Baal is supposedly the god of thunder. And if anybody can make it, make lightning come down and spark fire, it should be this Baal dude. And so the prophets cut themselves, they do all their incantations and all their prayer, and nothing happens. And Elijah sits there and he prays to God. He builds an altar from 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, because he's signifying that God is a covenant-keeping God. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a covenant-keeping God. And as he builds his altar based on covenant, he then prays. He pours water all over the altar. He's looking for fire, but he pours water all over the altar. He's doing this at a time of famine. He's doing this at a time where people are just in survival mode. It's famine. And so he pours out the water. Everybody needs the water, and he pours it out. Not one barrel, not two barrels. He does it 12 times, 12 barrels of water. He pours out on this wood. And then as he's praying, the Bible says God comes and receives his prayer, and fire comes down and consumes and sucks up all the water. And then the people say, oh, God is God. But here in the text, something shifts and something happens. And this is where I want to speak this morning. So I only gave you that proper context so that you can understand this text. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. And for there is a sound. Y'all gonna miss this here. For there is a sound. of the abundance of rain. I go back. Don't. I told you I'm going to walk this. Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink. Eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Wait a second. Elijah, you can hear rain coming? What frequency are you tuned into? That you can, y'all gonna miss me already, that you can hear it coming. Look at your neighbor and say, change your frequency. Mm-hmm. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42 declares, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between the knees. He started praying. He was tuned into a certain frequency. Yeah. And then the word of God declares that after that, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down on you. I already did that. Verse 43. Come on, y'all. Get with me now. And said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, listen now, go again seven times. Touch your name and say, change your frequency. Oh, y'all just not even in the room with me. I hear something coming. So let's go up to the mountain. Let me elevate you. Let's go up. And I want you to go and look. I want my servant to go and look. And when he goes and look, he comes and says, I don't see nothing. And Elijah says to him, change your frequency. Go seven times. Look at your neighbor and say, change your frequency. The Bible says, verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Oh, God. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Mm-hmm. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode. Ahab had a chariot. Ahab had a tricked out chariot. And he rode, and he was going to Jezreel. Watch me now. Verse 46, but the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins. Just basically means he got his stuff together. He put his, you know, got his clothes up together. He put his stuff on and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. To the entrance of Jezreel. I want to preach to you this morning from a subject entitled Change Your Frequency. I can see the assignment that I have today. I can feel it all over the room. I want you to drop your Bible, grab that hand next to you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Don't leave nobody untouched. My assignment this morning is one of a fight. Oh, I came to fight. I took my time getting here. I asked one of my soon-to-be elders to do the announcements and offering so that I can keep my energy for this fight. Oh, I came to fight. Because I now recognize how the enemy really tricks us. It's about what you listen to. What you listen to. Some of you in this room right now, you ain't listening to me. You're not listening to me because the problems in your life are louder. The stuff you're facing, the way you feel. You didn't come to church to appease God. Because God ain't mad at you. Let me help you out real quick. You could have stayed at bedside back, but y'all ain't said nothing. Because if your mindset doesn't change, you being here doesn't really matter. So you wasted valuable sleep time. Just by trying to appease God, just by trying, well, if I can just, listen. You got to turn off all of that white noise in your mind and in your head that's making you think God is mad at you, you're not good enough. If only I had this, I would be that. If only this would happen, then that would take place. All of these are tricks of our adversary to keep us locked on the edge of tomorrow. So I came to pull you out of that edge. You're not going to go willingly, so I came to fight. I don't want to get it twisted. I'm not fighting the devil. I'm fighting you. I am going to wrestle with your soul this morning. And let me tell you, you ain't ready. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment and opportunity to come into your presence. I'm on assignment today. I didn't come to just preach. I didn't come because I was the pastor. I came on divine assignment to break somebody out of a terrible psychological state, to open our ears into a capacity to hear God on a different frequency so that we can change our frequency. I came to wrestle with the soul because that's where the issues are. It is the hotbed of every emotional stress and trauma. It is the place that tells us that we're not enough. It is the place that holds us back. It is the place that makes us who we are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I came to wrestle with that soul, that harbors guilt from what you did yesterday and 2 days ago and 5 weeks ago and 5 years ago, to let that soul know that it's covered in the blood of the Lamb. I came to tell somebody that they are already set free because Jesus changed the frequency and took the sting out of death. I came to let somebody know they got victory and they're about to go from surviving to thriving, that God is about to change their life forever. I came to fight. So, Father, I thank you that it's going to be a good fight. And in the end, everybody in this room is going to win. See, if they lose, they win. God, if somebody gets what I just said, if they lose, they win. So Holy Spirit, referee this one. Yeah. When you see us knocked down and knocked out, go ahead and start counting. Because that's how we're going to win. And when we get up, we're going to get up changed. We're going to get up different. We're going to get up set free. We thank you, Father, for what you're about to speak to us. Somebody is holding somebody's hand that needs this word. Somebody is holding somebody's hand that needs a change in their life. Somebody's holding somebody's hand right now. They're saying, if God don't move, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Somebody's holding somebody's hand who's got to make a critical decision. Somebody's holding somebody's hand who's just tired and frustrated of this status quo, of this just barely making it, of this just getting by and having more questions than you do God answers. I'm telling you, God is about to answer you. But you got to change your frequency. Father, I thank you for ears to hear, hearts open to receive. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for what you're about to do in this place in Jesus' name. If you believe God's about to do something in your life, go ahead and give God the best shout of praise you got right now. Yeah. Yeah, I feel it already. I said, I feel it already. Oh, I dare you to shout about it now. I dare you let the devil know. I'm about to go from surviving to thriving. Oh. Sit down. Let me help you. Let me help you. The United States Surgeon General has made an addition over the last couple of years to a defining matter and moment in our society. And what they noted was, is that there are more people living in our country who are languishing than who are flourishing. From education to our relationships to our careers to business, there are more people who are languishing than they are who are flourishing, which has created mental disorders, causing people to have trauma emotionally because they don't feel like they are where they should be in their lives. If we really wanted to be honest about it, many of us in this room share some of those sentiments. Even though we are Bible-believing Christians, it is difficult at times where our theology does not match our reality. In other words, I believe God, I know that He is. I know that He is omniscient. I know that He is omnipotent. I know that He's omnipresent. Why is that all important to me? It is His attributes of who He is. And I understand that He knows all. I understand that He holds all power. I understand that He's everywhere present. I get all of that. I know that I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I know that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is not my problem. My problem is not my theology. My problem is my reality, because in my reality, I know I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe I'm the head and I'm not the tail, and I believe I'm more than a conqueror. But in my reality, there's some things that suggest that I'm the tail, and there are some things that suggest that I'm not conquering, and there's some things that suggest that God, where are you in all of this, and why am I not flourishing in these areas in my life? Why is my marriage jacked up? Why is my business languishing? Why do I keep failing the way that I do? Why can't I just get my stuff together? Why do I keep picking bad person after bad person and toxic relationship after toxic relationship? God, where are you in all of that? Oh, y'all, I told you I came to fight. God, where are you in all of that? Why are my kids struggling? And why is all of this dysfunction in my family? God, where are you in all of this? The problem is my reality. That is the problem. And so in my reality, I have to fight with my theology. And so it's a struggle at times to get into my Bible because I read it, but I ain't living it. Y'all ain't said nothing in here. I read it every day. Oh, y'all don't want to talk. I read it every day, but it's hard to live sometimes because culturally, it's really not accepted that way. And if I talk to people on my job about what it is I'm trying to believe, they don't understand, or they'll take it into some universal approach, deep spiritualism that I'm not talking about. Y'all ain't said nothing. And if I go to my church family and talk about my reality, they're gonna look at me sideways because the body of Christ don't heal the brother and they cannibalize the wounded. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here, and I really can't tell nobody what's really going on. Oh. Because if I look over to my neighbor and say I'm broke, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. If I look over to my neighbor and say that I threw a can of potatoes, y'all ain't said nothing. I don't know if the potatoes come in a can, but I threw a... Do they come in a can? Okay. A Goya or something like that. All right. So I threw a can of potatoes at my husband's head because he got on my last nerve. Y'all ain't said nothing. Or when I walked out the house, I smacked the dog and I kicked the cat because all hell was breaking loose in my house. Or we were in the car cussing each other out because I can't stand the person that I'm supposed to be married to. I really can't talk to you like that, because if I talk to you like that, you're going to look at me like your halo ain't never been crooked and like you ain't never thrown no can of potatoes. And like you ain't never said a cross word to anybody. So I really can't. Am I talking to anybody in the room? Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's the truth that's gonna make you free. The body of Christ is so jacked up that we're so mixed up trying to do wrong and right when God wants us to do truth. He didn't say it's what's right that make you free. And so my whole Christian life, I was trying to do what was right instead of trying to do truth. It's the truth that will unlock everything in your life when you tell yourself it is what it is. Oh, y'all ain't want to talk back to me. I'm bad with money. I have trust issues. I have trust issues. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about y'all. I'm bad with money, have trust issues. I'm saved, but I still like to hang out and kick it a little bit, and I don't know how to do that without doing it the old way. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. I'm good and saved, but I'm still me. Every now and then something nice walk by and I go, bless the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I see what I want. Y'all know what I said? Oh, you only do that when you're on vacation. I'm sorry, yo. Because on vacation, you're a whole different person. We are languishing because we don't do truth. We do right. God never asked, oh God, I'm about to say something that's going to get me in trouble. If you really read your Bible, God never asked you to do right, because he said your right is like filthy rags. So he calls us the righteousness of God. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing. And it is in that acknowledgement that I learn how to actually to do right. Oh, y'all ain't. Because the struggle of trying to do it leaves me, and the guilt of not living up to it is not something that the enemy can hold over my life, because I realize I'm free no matter what, because whom the Son sets free, I done blew your whole theology. It's free indeed. The reason why we're not flourishing and the reason why we are languishing is because we're stuck in survival mode. Your theology and your reality are both synced to the frequency of survival. You're just trying to make it in. If I can just keep it, if I can just hold it together, if I can just make it, how many times you said, if I can just make it to church, if I can just make it to the house of God, if I can just get there, I know, and that's all good. That's called survival mode. Touch your name and say, that's survival mode. That's survival mode. That's survival mode. Your life is in survival mode. You get up to go to work. I got to get to work. Why? Survival mode. I got to pay these bills. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Survival mode. Your life is in survival mode. You're married. Is in survival mode. You go home because you're in survival mode. You're not going home because you can't wait to get there. You go home because you ain't got nowhere else to go. You're in, oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. I came to fight. You're in survival mode. Touch your neighbor and say, you're in survival mode. You're in survival mode. And the way that you know that you're in survival mode, there's some signs that you're living in survival mode. The reason I know you live in survival mode, you choose the path of least resistance. The moment something opposes you, you stop and quit and find the easiest way to get what it is that you want. So you become something that you're really not supposed to be, because it's the path of least, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing, resistance. If you're ever going to do anything great for God, you got to learn that there's going to be some opposition against you. Let me hurry up. Let me hurry up and get us to where we need to go. That you choose the path of least resistance. You are more reactive than you are proactive. You blame circumstances on others and find excuses when things go wrong. It's never really your fault. You feel there is never enough go around. You have a scarcity mindset. And so anytime someone asks of you to do a thing, to give or to sow of your time, of your love, you don't think you have enough to go around. Don't ask for your money. You'll really get twisted face then. You don't speak your mind because you are afraid of what other people will think about what's in your mind, and you don't want to disagree with anybody. Here's the one I really want you to understand. You don't listen to hear, you listen to answer. When you're in survival mode, you don't listen to hear, you listen to answer. Lord Jesus have mercy. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was at an all Spanish speaking conference. My God, it was absolutely incredible. And it was a dual language, Spanish and English, and each had translators. So if the speaker was Latino, they had an English translator. If the speaker spoke English, then they had a Latino translator. And so at this conference, I was there, and they started worshiping and praising the Lord. And they started worshiping, praising God. And God said, listen, and I didn't understand one language. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. I speak a poquito, very little bit of Spanish, just very, very, very little bit, enough to get me in and out. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there listening, and they're worshiping the Lord. And I just lifted my hands, and I started worshiping God. And I was praising the Lord. And he said, I need you to listen. And the guy gets up and he starts speaking, he's speaking Spanish, he's an apostle, and he said, but he was prophesying, and my God, I swore I understood every last word this man said. And the translator started speaking. I said, already God, I heard exactly. I knew what he was talking about when he was talking. You gotta listen to hear, not listen to answer. We sat in a room, and I was talking to people who have tens of thousands of members, 30,000, one guy in Columbia, 30,000 coming to his church. And I'm sitting there, don't nobody know him, you don't know his name. If I said his name, you wouldn't even know who he is. Don't nobody in America know who he is. 30,000 people every Sunday. He has 6 services over the weekend where 30,000 people shows up to every service. I saw the video. It was insane. And he was sitting there talking. You think I went in there listening with answers? I was in there listening to hear. Y'all don't hear me. Why? Because when you get in front of somebody who has more than you, knows more than you, that is not the moment to show how much you think you know. I gotta hurry up. I'm getting to where I need to go. You don't listen to hear, you listen to answer. You see failure as the end result when things go wrong, and change scares the mess out of you. But something happens when you're stuck in survival mode. God often brings crises and circumstances into your life to cause you to make a choice to go into thriving. Thriving doesn't just show up, you gotta choose to get there. Somebody stay with me. It doesn't just show up, you gotta choose to get there. In the story, we understand there's a famine going on in Israel. There's a woman, my God, Lord Jesus, there's a woman sitting in Zarephath who's suffering from this famine. Elijah, the man of God who went into Ahab's palace and said, it's not going to rain nor dew until I command it to, was also suffering, if you will, from the famine. They were in survival mode. How many people know that God will sustain you in survival mode? I'm not suggesting to you that survival mode is all bad. Survival mode is a lesson. It's a lesson to change your frequency. It's a lesson that God can sustain you in this place, but he doesn't want to keep you in this place. Survival, my God, is simply a strategy for God to stretch you, to get your mind and your heart opening to listening to a different capacity, to a different frequency. I had a lot of scientific things up here for you, hertz and megahertz, but I don't want to fry your brain. But you have to understand that when God spoke into the universe and said, let there be light, we hear it in terms of phonics, but we don't look at that text in terms of physics. In other words, when we look at that text and it says, let there be light, we see the phonics, but we don't see the physics, because he never commanded the light to stop, which means everything God spoke to, his word is on the inside of, and it still carries the frequency of the Creator. This is why when Elijah was in the middle of his famine and he went down to the brook Cherith where God told him to go, he says, Elijah, go down to the brook Cherith. Why? Because I'm about to take you from surviving to thriving. And I'm about to shift the whole culture of Israel from surviving to thriving. And I want you to go down to brook Cherith, and I have commanded, listen to me, I have commanded the ravens to sustain you there. You mean to tell me that the birds listen to you too? Yes. Why? Because everything God created has his frequency, and he can tune into everything that he created. So I commanded the ravens to sustain you there. And the ravens by frequency are bringing meat that they picked off, and they're dropping it by frequency. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God, sustain me by frequency. Yeah. How did they know where I was located? How did they know where I was sitting? How did they know the situation out? Oh, y'all ain't in here with me. Touch your neighbor right now and say, don't you got a testimony of God sustaining you? You can sit here and look cute if you want to, but if you got a testimony of God sustaining you, you got to ask yourself this question. How did that person know where I was located? How did they know my name? How did they know I needed this? How did that person show up at that time, at that moment, to do that thing that I needed in that spot? Slap your neighbor high five and say, it was God's frequency. So that means if God has a frequency, I got a locator. Come on, church. That means God must have some type of beacon on me. That he can send a raven and the raven drop what I need right where I'm located. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God knows your location. God, no, he knows exactly where you are. And that's why he's trying to pull you. Out of surviving. This mere conversation is provocative because it challenges your truth. He was down by the brook Cherith, and it was a good gig. Water's coming down the brook. There's a famine. He done found a spot that don't nobody else know about. That's how you know you're just in survival mode. When your self-interest is more important than what God has really summoned you to. He's down there taking care of himself, minding his own business. I know we all prescribe to the mind your business ministry. I get it. And I'm all down for the mind your business ministry. But when it comes to your thriving is a part of somebody else's testimony. Help me get to this thing, Holy Ghost. So the Bible says the brook dries up. Oh God, now his theology does not match his reality. Oh, y'all not in here with me. The brook dries up. And when the brook dries up, God says to him, get up from here and go to Zarephath. Why? For I have commanded a widow, y'all in here with, to sustain you there. His reality did not suggest to him that it wasn't possible because he was just fed by ravens. So his theology overcame his reality. And therefore, God gave him an experience so that when God would speak at a different frequency, he would listen. And when he would listen, every time he moved, he changed his frequency. So he leaves and he goes to Zarephath. I don't have time. If you need a definition for frequency, frequency is basically how often something occurs, the period of time at which it occurs and at which rate. That's what frequency means. It's how you hear, it's how you listen. There's a lot that can happen with frequency because even the noise that I'm making out of my mouth, the words that are coming out of my mouth, they're not just leaving, they're waves floating all over the atmosphere. That's why when God said, let there be light, Lord, have mercy, it was the physics, not the phonics. That light is still expanding across the universe. It's still going all over the place, still creating, still expanding. And so, watch this now. The Bible says he goes to Zarephath, and when he gets to Zarephath, there's a widow there who is languishing. Oh, God, she's languishing. She's about to make, Lord have mercy, her last bit of meal so her and her son can eat it and die. But there's something in there that lets me know she was ready to shift from surviving to thriving. Because she wasn't reactive, she was proactive. She wasn't just sitting there waiting for something to happen. She said, I'm going to use what I got. And I'm going to go ahead and collect these sticks. And when I collect these sticks, I'm going to make me a fire, make this last bit of meal, and I'm going to make something out of this thing. And maybe we're going to eat it and we're going to die, but at least I'm going to go down with a fight. And so the Bible says she goes out to collect sticks to make her little fire. And when she goes out to collect sticks, she meets Elijah at the gate. And Elijah sees her because God's got a locator on her. How did he know who the widow was? Oh, y'all are not in this room with me. How did he know who this woman was supposed to be? God didn't give him no address. God didn't give him no name. God didn't tell him she lived around the corner. Y'all ain't saying nothing. God didn't tell him any type of details. He just gave him a direction. Go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman I've commanded to sustain you there. How did he know who the widow woman was? God had to have a locator, beacon on her. And Elijah had to be tuned into God's frequency that when he saw her, God said, there a woe right there. God, touch your neighbor right now and say, if you get proactive, God, your answer will show up right in front of you. Y'all not in here with me at all. If you get proactive, your answer will show up right in front of you. He shows up. And he says, hey, woman, what are you doing? He says, I'm gathering these sticks. I'm going to make myself this cake for me and my son to eat it. And we're going to eat it and we're going to die. Let me get to where I need to go, God. I'm in a fight. This is like round eight right now. And y'all not going down easy. Y'all. And he goes to Zarephath. Listen to him now. Oh, God. He goes to Zarephath and he tells this woman something ridiculous. She says, I'm going to make my cake and me and my son, we're going to eat it and die. He says, listen here, go give me some water. And then while you're going to get in the water, oh, Lord have mercy, make me a cake first. First of all, how does she have water? It ain't rained in 3 years. Everything's dried up. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I'm saying everything's dried up. How does she have water? How does she have a little bit of cake left? She had to be being sustained at the same rate that Elijah was being sustained. Slap your neighbor and say, you ain't by yourself. I wish I had somebody in here. Because sometimes when you're just making it, you feel like you're by yourself. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you ain't by yourself. He kept me too. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Let me get real, real. I was living paycheck to paycheck, but he kept me too. I was struggling, but he kept me too. I didn't know where to find the ends, let alone to make the meat, but he kept me too. Has God kept anybody in this room? I don't know what made this woman go out and decide to be proactive, but I thought that she might have had this nagging moment and feeling in her life that made her feel like there has to be something better. I know God kept me, but I know he's just not in the business of keeping me. I know he wants to launch me into an entirely different place. And in order for God to launch me, I got to learn how to listen. I got to learn how to tune into his frequency. He's been trying to talk to me, but it's not in the way that I'm used to. If there's no organ, y'all ain't said nothing. There's no tambourine. There's no microphone. It's people I don't know. It's places I never thought I would go to. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. And God is pushing me, and he's talking to me, and he's trying to launch me in a different trajectory so that my life can be changed. But watch me now. But if I remain loyal to little, my life can never change. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be loyal to little. Being loyal to little will be the thing that makes you not listen. Oh, you don't hear me. My mind is blown by the text. I'm about to say something. My mind is blown by the text that God never spoke to the widow. There's nowhere in the text where you can find where God comes and says, listen, hey, widow, I'm going to send some guy to you. When he shows up, do X, Y, and Z. He never had a conversation in the Bible with the widow, which tells me that she was in conversation with him. And that's what prompted her to get out of her house, go, and say, I gotta go get some sticks or something, because something's got to change. And if I sit here, I'm gonna die. So while I sit here and die, something's... Oh, touch five people, say, something's gotta change, something's gotta change. Yeah. Somebody shout, listen. Your launch is in your ability to listen. Your launch is in your ability to listen. Can I go a little deeper? Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question. Can I go a little deeper? Yeah, some of y'all don't want me to. Well, Pastor, I have a hard time listening. I'm having all these difficulties, I have all these problems. Do you remember Cain and Abel? Yeah. Do you remember Cain offered? I don't have time to go into all the story, but do you remember that it was Cain who brought to God a sacrifice that God didn't want to hear? Abel brought unto the Lord the first fruits of his crop. Cain brought him the leftovers. That. Listen to me very carefully. That's not the point of my story. The point of my story is that when Cain invited Abel to where he was, he invited his brother to where he was. Why? Because the enemy always wants to get you on his turf. And he lulled them to sleep, and he killed Abel. And when he killed Abel, go back and read your Bible. The Bible says that God came to Cain and said, where is your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, no, you don't understand. His blood has cried out to me from the earth. And then he tells Cain, listen. What? I'm not tripped out so much that God could hear the blood. What messes me up is that the blood can speak back. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, listen to the blood. You gotta understand that the blood is talking about your life. Touch three people and say, the blood is talking about me. It's talking about my future. It's talking about my destiny. It's talking about my kids. It's talking about my life. It's talking about my healing. It's talking about my blessing. It's talking about my freedom. The blood. Listen. The reason why you're not flourishing is because you're not listening. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Listen, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. He that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Slap your neighbor high five and say, listen. Your launch is in what you listen to. White noise. You ever heard that? White noise is a frequency that can absorb every noise so that no noise is heard. So everything comes off as static. When there's white noise, there are so many voices that it creates this white noise that no voice can be distinct. We live in a culture of white noise. So you don't know who to listen to. So you try to mix a little bit of your theology with a little bit of your reality and a little bit of the self-help and a little bit of the self-heal and a little bit of the self-taught. I can do it all by myself. And a little bit of the, I can hear the Lord for myself. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to be trained to listen. Oh, I wish I had time. You got to be trained to listen. Samuel was raised in the house of God. Samuel was raised in the house of God by a backslidden prophet. But the backslidden prophet still knew how to hear the voice of God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, but they do come with conditions. So just because Eli didn't correct his sons didn't mean that the gift of hearing God would leave his life. He could still hear. His problem was he could no longer discern. Y'all not in here with me. And when you can hear and not discern, you no longer know how to speak. So your words lack power and impact, and now you're useless. Eli recognized this, and so when Samuel came to him and God began to speak to Samuel, Samuel didn't go to God, he went to Eli, because he wasn't on God's frequency, he was on Eli's. So he went to Eli and said, did you call me? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And he went back to sleep, and he heard another voice, and he went back to Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you. So he went back to sleep. Then he went back to Eli. Eli said, wait a second. The next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord. Because God just changed your frequency. Oh, my God. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is about to change your frequency. You've been listening to everybody else but God. I dare you to look at somebody and say, the next time he speak, I'm going to do what he tell me to do. This brings us into our text now, where Elijah has blessed the widow and changed her trajectory because she listened. She listened. She heard God, not the guy. Some of y'all in here listening to the guy, but you ain't listening to God. Your frequency is jacked up. So busy worrying about me saying something cute or tweetable that you miss what God is saying to you. God is saying to you, your days of surviving are about to be over. Now, that won't mean much to you if you don't accept truth. I know you Gucci down to the socks, but you Gucci broke. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Touch your name and say round 12. Championship round. Ding, ding. Elijah has knocked out his enemy, but he hasn't knocked out mindset. Because mindset will get you back up, right back into your old life. So he's trying to knock out mindset. And he says something that's peculiar to me in the text. He says, Ahab, I know I just challenged you. I know I just wrecked your whole world, but I'm after mindset. Get up, eat and drink. Oh, God. Ah, I don't have time to go there. Eat and drink. For I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, which tells me that Elijah also learned to listen. Because he went from listening to God to listening to the rain. I commanded the ravens to sustain you. I commanded the widow to sustain you. There's no command here. Ah, he's been launched into a different frequency. He doesn't need to be commanded for his resource to show up. He's just got to listen for it. He ain't gotta wait no more. He's so in tune with God, he's starting to hear like him. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain and ain't nothing happening. There's nothing on the horizon. There's not even clouds. You know how sometimes you can tell us about the rain? This little black cloud, little storm. The black cloud ain't showed up yet. It's sunny skies. And he says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He says, let's get up to the mountain and let's go see. And he takes his servant and he says, servant, go out there and tell me what you see. And his servant says, I don't see nothing. Oh, Lord have mercy. So that means my seeing is linked to my hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So my seeing comes by my hearing. So wouldn't it be interesting that the enemy would keep you listening to the wrong thing so that you can keep seeing the wrong stuff? Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to change my frequency. Pastor, you keep saying that. How do I change my frequency? Here we go. You change your frequency by changing your frequency. I don't see nothing. Go seven times. You change your frequency by changing your frequency. Slap your neighbor high five and say, go back again. I don't see nothing. Change your frequency. I don't see nothing. Change your frequency. I don't see nothing. Change your frequency. You gotta keep going. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to change my frequency. I don't see nothing, but I'm gonna praise God anyway. I don't see nothing, but I'm gonna give him glory anyway. I don't see nothing, but I'm gonna bless the name of the Lord. You gotta change your frequency by changing your frequency. You're not going enough. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. The widow said, I'm going to make my last cake, which tells me she went to get sticks before. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. She was frequently going out collecting sticks to make cakes. When she got to her last one, that's when Elijah showed up. When you get down to your last, you still gotta be frequent. Oh, I'm gonna wrestle you out of this thing. No organ, no. Touch your name? No, I ain't doing it. Because that's your frequency. I can preach. I can do church. The spirit is subject to the prophet. I can bring this place to a level that'll make us dance and shout. But that's your frequency. You gotta change your frequency. Going again is hard. But I don't see nothing. And I look stupid. I like to tell you that he didn't tell him to go again seven times. Watch it now. Systematically, he told him one time. He didn't go and come back. And he said, go again, go and come back and say, go again. That wasn't the sequence. He came back one time. And he said, go seven more. He changed his frequency, so he went eight. Eight is the number of new beginnings. What happens next depends upon your ability to believe what I'm about to say. What happens next depends upon your ability to believe what I'm about to say. Here's my clothes. And what happens next, I can tell half of you right now, you don't believe me. I can't believe for you. I want to, but I can't. I can't believe for you. I wish I could. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Sometimes when we think new beginning, we think what was no longer exists. It's not true. New beginning happens when what exists has simply come to an end and no longer has relevance in what is about to happen next. It might still exist, but I don't live there no more. Here's my clothes. God said, if you would listen, he's going to give you, watch me now, a new beginning in the area of your life that you needed the most. You're in survival mode, and God is about to take you into thriving. There's a difference. There's a distinction. Surviving is about getting by. Surviving is about barely making it. No music. Surviving is about barely making it. If you really want for your new beginning to happen, you're going to have to face this truth that you're in survival mode. And while you're sitting there looking at me like, when are you going to be over so I can get this ice cream? I rigged it till they wouldn't get here to 12:30 anyway, so how about that? If you would listen and hear God, God says, I'm going to launch you into thriving and give you a new beginning in the area of your life that you need it most. Look at somebody on your row and say, this is a tailored blessing. It's monogrammed. It's got your initials on it. It belongs to you. Whenever God is taking somebody from survival mode to thriving, he always gives them a command. He always gives them a command, and that command is always by sacrifice. They have to sacrifice. It's the word of God. I was flying when I hit my sixth city. If you bear with me, there are certain places I love to go. There are certain places I don't love to go. Vegas is my least favorite place on the face of the planet for a number of reasons. I don't gamble anymore. You know, even though, you know, you start feeling hot, you'd be like, shake them up. It's a joke. I don't gamble. It's too many people. My old life is not my life. And when I go, it reminds me of the mindset of what I used to be. And one of the greatest breakthroughs in my life for what I'm trying to do in the field of education was in a place I didn't want to go. I was invited to this thing, top 50 minority owned, top 50 persons of color charter operator or school operator, not just charter or school operator, sit down with some of the greatest funders in the nation. And it was in Las Vegas. And I didn't want to go. And I didn't want to go because I didn't want to revisit my past. Yeah, I know that I'm not talking to you. It's not about temptation. You know, some things I'm too old. I ain't gonna be clubbing. I'm too old. Nobody got time for that. Okay, anyway. And I sat in this room feeling, God, something's got to happen. I'm too close. Something's got to break through. I've been working on this project for 7 years. I said, and I'm not lying. I was sitting in this room, and I'm sitting in the room, and you know, I'm sitting in here. I'm greeting people. I'm saying hi, and they're starting to go through the thing, and I'm getting a little anxious because, you know, it's not becoming what I thought it was going to be. I don't need to have a little conversation with you. Listen here, I need something to happen. I've been at work, my hands on the plow. I done built my team, I done invested. I am in survival mode for this thing to live. I need a fresh infusion of capital. I need something to happen. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm getting anxious and I'm getting upset. And I said to God in my seat, I said, God, I've been at this thing for 7 years. You can't have me sit here and get to this place and get so close and nothing happened. And God said to me so clearly, I was in a frequency, so clearly, so succinctly, he said, this is your seventh time of going. He said, I am about to give you a new beginning on the thing that matters most in your life or what you need most. And I sat there and he says, I don't want you to approach not one person. I don't want you to go talk to anybody. I want you to sit in your seat. I want you to go to the sessions they ask you to go. Don't introduce yourself. Don't say nothing. I said, God, if I don't say nothing, ain't nobody gonna know I'm here. Then nobody gonna know that I exist. I gotta get my stuff out there. I gotta talk about what I'm doing. He said, listen, if you would listen to me, I will bless you. So I sat in my seat and I bit my tongue, and people were coming up to me left, right, one person after another. And when I introduced myself, they said, I was looking for you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. One organization said, we were looking for you. We were reading about you before we got here, and we heard that you were coming. I didn't know who you were because you didn't have a name tag on. I couldn't tell them to say, God told me to take my name tag off. And the reason why God did that was to prove to me I got a locator beacon on your life. Slap your neighbor high five and say, they looking for you. You so busy looking for them, but baby, they looking. They said, we looking for you. Your concept is perfect. It's the thing that we want to fund. We want to get behind it. Can you be here in August? We're going to do this thing on August 1. I want you front row and center. I want you to put your application in. We're going to walk you through the process. We're going to get you everything you need. Somebody shout, listen. So I was preparing for this message, and I kept hearing bells. I said, God, what the heck are those bells? He says, those are ring bells, son. It's going to be a fight. The reason it's going to be a fight is because when you start languishing, when you start surviving, survival is so instinctual that thriving never becomes a possibility. And you'd rather survive than move forward. Because when you get into survival mode, you start thinking about what you got left. And so you start holding on to what you got left. But what you got left is little. And if you stay loyal to little, you ain't never gonna get what God said that you can have. So there was this lady. She was my widow of Zarephath. I'm almost there. And God said to her, I want you to go to this lady. There was an event. During the event, it was $100. $100 to me is little. I'm not going to lie. That's no money to me. But to somebody else, that's a lot of money. And I saw her standing in the corner. She was in our cohort. And we had it was this cohort session called Show Me the Money. And then there was a clinic on grant writing and finding your development officer and all this stuff. I'm trying to do big stuff. The stuff I'm about to do, my budget is $20 million. Don't worry, I'm not asking you for it. Because you're not my harvest. The reason you're not my harvest is because you're not my seed. Listen to me carefully. This, what I'm saying, it has nothing to do with me or what God is my funder. I want you to hear me clearly, but this has everything to do with you. And so I saw this lady and I saw her demeanor. I don't know why, she just popped out of it. God had a locator beacon on her. And she popped out at me and she was standing in the corner, sitting over there. And I went over to her. I don't normally do this, you know, I try to keep it stepping. You know, okay, y'all don't talk back to me. You know, and I went over to her, I said, hey, are you okay? She says, yeah, I'm good, Pastor. I said, you don't look okay. She says, well, I really want to go to the clinic. I said, well, come on, we're going, it was at 4:30, we're going to go. And she didn't say anything. She just sat there. And I got the frequency. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You're sitting here trying to figure out whether you can go pay this $100 or eat later. And she broke down crying. She said, oh my God, how did you know that? I said, God just told me. I said, but he also told me to tell you, you're going to eat. I said, come on, we going over here to this clinic. I got you $100, come on. When we got to the clinic, I gave her $100 to go to the clinic. Y'all ain't said nothing. When we got to the clinic, this other lady that I didn't know comes over and says, hey, I'm sorry, I don't normally do this. And I'm standing right next to her. She says, I apologize. I know this might seem weird. I know this might seem unconventional, but I can't say it no other way. God just told me to give you this $100 so that you can eat later. We finished up the clinician. We walked out of the room. When we walked out of the room, some man comes walking down the hall. He sees the lady. He pulls out his pocket, a $100 bill. He puts it in her hand. He said, God bless you. And he kept on walking and kept on stepping. This lady had a locator beacon on her life. I looked at her, tears were streaming down her eyes. I said, God is blessing you today. I said, can you stand it? She said, you don't understand. Before I came here, I was in the church service and God called me to give this $100. It was my last $100 bill. I was just trying to get my organization off the ground. I paid all my money to get out here. I had nowhere to stay. I had no food. God put it on somebody's heart to pay for my room. God put it on your heart to pay for my $100 registration. People are giving me the money so that I can eat while I am here. By the time we left, this lady had everything she needed for surviving, but then some funder showed up for her and funded her entire business, and she went from surviving to thriving. Slap three people a high five and say, you're going from surviving to thriving. So my assignment is this, round 12. Somebody shout, listen. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It's about to rain over your life in abundance. But there's a sacrifice involved. Somebody go get my wallet. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes. It's in my book bag. Yes. I was flying home July, 4th of July. It was 1 in the morning. I got in here 1:30 in the morning on Friday morning, I guess, walking through the airport, going to my car. And God said to me, your assignment on Sunday is to pull people from surviving to thriving by way of sacrifice. Listen. Get that $100 seed in your hand, bring it to this altar, and you're going to move from surviving to thriving. For some of you, $100 is nothing. For others, it's everything. And it is your ability to listen, that will determine what happens next in your life. And if the air just got sucked out of the room because God called for a $100 offering, then you're going to stay in survival mode. And I am not ashamed to tell you that, because you're listening to the guy. You're not listening to the God in the guy. If I were you, I'd be breaking everything I can get to get this $100 seed in my hand. I don't care if I had to make a vow. I don't care if I had to rub two nickels together. I don't care what I would have to do. I would absolutely do it. I would absolutely do it. I'm not calling for nothing else. Ain't no $50 after this. Ain't no $20 after this. There is no other offering. This is it. This is your moment to change your mindset. Poor is a mindset. Not enough is a mindset. Lack is a mindset. And you got to come out of that mindset. Somebody wanting your stuff is a mindset. Somebody after your stuff is a mindset. That widow had her last meal, and the man of God said, give it to me. She ate until she was full, till the famine was over. And her life flourished, and she still received the rain. You're sitting there thinking about it, contemplating about it. You better move. This is it. This is it. I don't need no music. I don't need no fast pace. I don't need no emotion. This is a destiny decision. And watch something break in your life. Where's my wallet? Watch something break in your life. Watch lack break in your life. Watch debt break in your life. Watch disease break in your life. I hear the sound. Change your frequency of the abundance of rain. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. Let me show you how faith works. Let me show you how faith works. Let me show you how faith works. Faith says, I ain't got it, but I'm gonna get it. Y'all ain't in here with me. Let me show you how faith works. And if you say that, keep your vow to God. Keep your vow to God. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. You're changing your frequency. You're changing your frequency. I hear you, jokester. I'm tuned into your frequency. I hear you, jokester. I'm tuned into your frequency. Baby, this ain't to pay for the ice cream. Ice cream already paid for. I can't get help because we ain't no broke church. We're a blessed church. Y'all ain't said nothing. I said we ain't no broke church. We're a blessed church. We ain't no broke church. We're a blessed church. We ain't no broke church. We're a blessed church. We ain't no broke church. We're a blessed church. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come. We're blessed when we go. For some of you, this is your last broke day. For some of you, this is your last time living the paycheck to paycheck. Increase and abundance is about to shower down on you. There's still time. There's still time. There's still time to change your frequency. 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 For 7 years, 7 years, y'all don't hear me. I've been investing in education, traveling at my own expense, city to city, conference to conference, person to person. Why? Because God put it in my heart to make an impact in education. And it's by sacrifice. Sacrifice. Do you understand that? He didn't show up to say, here you go. Here's $1 million. Go do it. I had to walk by faith. I had to be in some dark places. I had to cry and say, God, why you got me out here spending my money like this? Come on now. I ain't got that type of time. I got a kid in college. I got another one on the way. Let's go. And all he kept saying is, do you trust me?
Hallelujah.
You trust me?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Change your frequency.
Thank you, Lord.
You change your frequency, you change your life.
Oh, hallelujah.
You're listening to everything but God.
Come on.
But God. But God. Change your frequency, change your life. 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 This is a covenant moment. This is a covenant moment. This is weird. I can hear y'all think. I can hear your thoughts. I know you're scared. You got to do it scared. I know it's your last. But anytime somebody sacrifices at that level, God shows up immediately. I know you got summer camp. I know you got babies. I know you got stuff. Change your frequency. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Come on, I'm gonna give you 60 seconds to change your frequency. 60 seconds. 60 seconds. This is not a need offering. This is not because we have a need. I didn't come in here for that. This is, first of all, this is just doggone good ground. First of all, that's exactly what this is. I'm telling you something right now. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. Change your frequency. Come on, you got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. Y'all crazy. I'm telling you, y'all crazy. There ain't no way, nowhere. I be up here rubbing two nickels together like, Pastor, I ain't got it, but I'm going to get this $100. I'm telling you that right now. You just crazy. You're crazy. Change your frequency. Change your, God, stop messing with me. Change your frequency. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't you jump out here, because I love everybody, but this is a prophetic moment and a divine moment, and I'm going to embarrass you if it ain't you. I'm just trying to tell you. So don't do this. There's a woman in this room right now. You so badly want to come down here and sow $100. You have children. You have older children, and you have smaller children. And you actually really don't have the money. And God told me to tell you, go get your sticks and meet the man of God at this altar. I am going to sow the $100 for you. Who am I talking to? You're in the room. Get your sticks. Get your sticks. Get your sticks. You got small kids. You got big kids. That wasn't you. You got $100. That's you. Come here. Raise it up. He went to get it. I'm going to sow for you. And God's going to rain on your life. And God's going to open a door that no man can shut. But first he's going to shut a door that no man can open. So this seed is for your future. It's for your kids' future. Because this ain't about you. This is about them kids. And God's going to break every generational curse of lack and poverty out of their life. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Are we done? Because I'm going to pray. I'm not waiting no more. Are we done? Did you move? God bless you if you didn't. Come on, baby. Listen. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you. I'm glad God is God. And I ain't God. I'm going to pray this prayer. Some of you are still struggling to listen. But doing this ice cream social, wherever, whenever you start listening, you bring your $100. You put it down here. I was in a financial predicament because everything I'm doing is big. I wish I could do something small. I wish what I was doing would require a $100 seed. No, you don't hear what I'm saying. Everything I'm doing is massive. And it's pulling me and it's stretching me. And I don't want anybody to miss their moment. So God said he'll keep the window open to change your frequency. Come on, lift those hands. This is a covenant moment. Father, you brought us to this moment. Not with sensationalism or emotionalism. Father, I could have preached this text 80 million different ways. I believe I said what you wanted me to say. Our frequency is off. We come when we feel like it. We worship when we feel like it. We give when we feel like it. Our frequency is off. If our nature is to be like yours, you are the most consistent thing in the universe. And our only consistency is our rate of inconsistency. We're sun-timey people. Because of our reality. When life throws its best shot at us, and we go down. We see it as failure. We see it as loss. But it never occurred to us that you designed life to knock the conscious out of us. To put us in an unconscious state to listen. Because it's only when life is real hot and heavy that we then give in to listen. You've been speaking to us all along, whispering, shouting. And sometimes we're so stubborn that we just don't want to listen. But our next launch is tied to our ability to listen because, God, you're in countdown. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Hallelujah.
And we don't hear you. So we're not ready. We don't think nothing's happening. But there's a sound of the abundance of rain. So we listen to you. And we get down off of this mountain. Because on the mountain, all we can do is look. We can't live. Good. And you want us to have life. You want us to live. You want us to thrive. You want us to flourish in every area of our life. And it doesn't mean we won't have difficulty or pain or problems. It's all a part of the flourishing. Father, I thank you for those who gave by way of sacrifice, for those who listened, that the rain of heaven will shower down on their life like never before. Not just so their bills be paid, but Father, so that they can invest in the next generation. God, I thank you that our church is leaving survival mode and we're going into thriving. We're blessed in every endeavor. Not just monetary blessing, Father, but we have abundance of peace and abundance of joy and abundance of love and abundance of forgiveness. We thank you that we're always producing. That we're producing more than what we are consuming. We thank you, Father, for a mindset shift. That we're not languishing, but we're flourishing. That even though the path be hard, it's still our path. And that your favor surrounds us like a shield on that path. Father, I thank you for increase. I thank you for the locator beacons on every last person in this room. That the people that need to find them will find them. And the great thing about the locator beacon is that it also repels. So that the people that don't need to discover them will never find them. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. This is a new beginning in the areas of our life where we need it most. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise.